A Fight in Silence by Melanie Matzentin. Translated by Deborah Rachel Langton. Performed by James Anderson Foster. Part 1. The Weimar Republic, 1926 to 1932. Chapter 1. Hamburg, 1926. Days like this unfailingly reminded Paula that Hamburg's university was still in its infancy and taking its first baby steps, a long way off from catching up with its older siblings, the renowned faculties of medicine for which the German Empire was famous. Her father, the distinguished psychiatrist Dr. Wilhelm Engelhardt, had repeatedly advised her to do her medical studies at the highly respected University of Göttingen, where he himself had been a student. He had emphasized over and over to her that those with the means to do so studied in Berlin, Heidelberg, or Göttingen, at a proper university hospital. But Paula loved Hamburg. This big, wealthy city, which had so swiftly recovered after the war and regained its former glory. A cosmopolitan Hanseatic port with a spirit of fun. Why go any further afield when Hamburg had founded its first university just 7 years earlier? No matter that it lacked a recognized university hospital and had hastily given professorial status to a few doctors from Eppendorf General to give the appearance of having a faculty of medicine, Paula had not regretted her decision. Days like this, however, made Paula wonder if she should have followed her father's advice after all. Days when students had to queue outside the lecture halls of the impressive main building at Domtor to hear lectures by respected guest academics from well-known universities, academics who wouldn't usually find themselves in Hamburg. For weeks now, she'd been looking forward to today's evening lecture by Professor Habermann from the University of Munich on the nature of mental illness and the state of mind of sufferers. Her friend Leonie, also a doctor's daughter and medical student in her second semester, had come along with her. Dressed in the latest fashion, her hair stylishly bobbed with a few rebellious curls peeping jauntily from beneath her cloche hat, her skirt short enough to draw attention to her silk-stockinged legs, Leonie looked more the starlet than the student. An innocent observer might easily gain the impression that Leonie was using university less to develop her knowledge than as a shop window where she could assess the worth of potential husbands. But Paula knew better. The image she portrayed was Leonie's personal weapon in the battle of the sexes, because an attractive appearance could turn male students into true gentlemen. Today was a case in point, as the men had let the two girls go straight to the head of the queue while they all stood in line for the caretaker to open the doors to the lecture hall. This was one of the few benefits of being a woman, but it didn't remotely compensate for the disadvantages all the girls encountered throughout their studies. Academic staff frequently went in for ambiguous remarks and disrespectful jokes. While Paula's approach was to fight back with hard work and high achievement, Leonie simply laughed it all off as though she had no idea that the pointed remarks were aimed at her.